Blog Talk Radio.
Sabbath Saturday to everyone that is listening, no matter where you're listening. If you're on the East Coast, if you're in the Midwest, if you're on the West Coast, we're going to cover the whole United States today, because guess what? The whole of the United States needs some more love today. What about that? Every time we turn on the news, we see violence and we see hate and we see just a whole lot of things that are so far away from and so opposite of love. And so we want to do something about that at Unfailing Love Ministries. We want to be found the instruments of change. We want to be found loving on God's people no matter where they are. And so one way we do that is we invite you to be a part of our online cyberspace ministry, Unfailing Love Ministries, every Saturday at 4:30. That's our new time. And when you're in the area, if you're 50 miles or less away from us, come on over live when we are in our sanctuary at 5311 Distributor Drive. We invite you, yes, you, to be our very special guest. We're going to open up with a song that's very meaningful to us. And then after that selection, we're going to have our Pastor Val to enter into prayer. We want you to pray with us. We have so much to pray about, right? Of course we do. So get ready to pray after this selection. This is How Great Thou Art by The Winans.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awe wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear
how great they are. Woo, what a beautiful, beautiful rendition to the Lord as we enter into prayer and praise, and my soul waits. And now we'll have our worship prayer by Pastor Valerie Parham. Okay. Okay, Pastor Pam, are you on today? Okay, all righty. She's not on the line yet, so we're going to move forward with prayer. We're going to ask our, why don't I just do it? I have a little bit of a voice left. I tell you what, our deacon and our elder is here. We're going to have him to go ahead and pray for us. How about that? Amen. Sounds good to me.
Amen.
Elder Gu is going to bring us our worship prayer.
All right.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Let us pray.
Hallelujah.
Once again, most grace and caring, loving Father. Once again, most caring and loving Father, you heard the prayer request that was presented before you, Father God. Because, Father God, we know that you have all the answers, Father God. You are the doctor, Father God. You're the doctor in the hospital, Father God. You're a lawyer in the courthouse, Father God. Father God, not only do we want to heal people, we want to make them whole, Father God. Make them whole means that it never comes back again, Father God. Father God, thank you for the grace, Father God. Thank you for the mercy, Father God. With all the crimes and everything going on, Father God, we need you more than anything, Father God. Father God, we want to continue to give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank our elder, amen, for that prayer as well. And so we ask today, because we never get enough of prayer, we ask today that we just be blessed to have the opportunity to pray for some of our members in particular. Amen. And we're going to do that today. We're going to pray for our own sister Kenyatta and all of her children, Lord God. We're going to pray, God, we'll cover them today. What a special blessing. We're also going to ask for all prayer for all of our members who've lost loved ones in the last month, actually, this year. Pastor Sharon Brodus lost her father. I lost my aunt and my cousin and my nephew all in 1 month. Oh my God. And then for many other ones, Pastor Principal P, she also lost her uncles this year. And anyone listening, if you've lost a loved one recently, we just want to lift you up and encourage your heart today. And so we're going to go ahead and ask, I think Pastor Val is on the line right now, go ahead and ask her to lift all the bereaved up in prayer. And let's just put them at the very throne right now for their support and for the Holy Ghost to just comfort them at this time. Pastor Valerie.
God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you today, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your loving kindness, dear God. Father, today we just come before your throne, God, just thanking you and praising you, God. Father, knowing that there is nothing too hard for you, God. No situation, God, that you, Heavenly Father, can't move upon, God. So, Father, today, God, I bring to you, dear God, the radio audience, God, those who have lost loved ones, God. Father, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you will comfort them, God, because, God, we know you to be a comforter, God. Father, we know, God, that you can wrap your arms around them like no one else can do, oh, God. Strengthen them, God. Undercut them, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, be their comforter. Be their friend, God. Lord, even in the time of loneliness, oh, God. Father, I just ask you today, oh, God, that you will hug on them, God. Love on them, Father, like only you can do, dear God. In the name of Jesus, God, we stand in the gap today, oh, God. Lord, we come in one accord today, God, just trusting you, believing you, God, depending on you, God, looking unto you, God, the author and the finish of our faith, God, knowing, God, that there's nothing impossible with you, oh, God. Father, look on Sister Kiana today, oh God. Look on our children today, God. Comfort,
yes.
God. Look on Dr. V today, oh God. Oh God, comfort the family today, God. In the name of Jesus, God.
Glory.
Father, we know that your word says the answer from this body, God, means to be present with you, dear God. And Father, even though we know, oh God, where they're at, dear God, Lord, I'm asking you today to fill that void, God, like only you
yes,
can do, God.
Father.
Lord God, fill the void today, God. Fill the loneliness today, God. Oh, God, like only you can do, God. Wrap your arms around your people today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, wrap your arms around them, God. Because, God, we know that you care for them because your word says so, God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance, God. We thank you for wrapping your arms around them, oh, God. We thank you for holding them in this time, God, in this season, oh, God. Oh, God, when all hope feels gone, oh, God, we thank you, God, that you are the great comforter, God. Your word declares, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, God. Lord, God, that you, Heavenly Father, will be with us always until the end of the world, oh, God. And,
yes,
Father, God, we thank you today, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us, oh, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for holding us in your bosom, oh, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for wrapping your arms around us, oh, God, because you, God, you care for us, God, and we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care for us, oh, God. You said when mother and father forsake us, God, then you, Heavenly Father, will lift us up, oh, God. And I thank you for encouraging them, God. I thank you for strengthening them from the inside, oh, God. I thank you for holding them in your bosom, God. And we give you glory and we give you honor, God. And we say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God.
Thank
you for what you are doing, God. And thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for touching each and every person on this line today, God, in our radio audience, God. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for being their strength today, oh, God. Thank you for being their hope today, God. Thank you, God, for giving them faith to just go a little farther, God. We say thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. We thank God for that. Those both of those powerful prayers by Elder Good and Pastor Valerie. And now our praise selection before we go into our leadership lesson is Hallelujah Praise. Enjoy.
Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah, the highest.
can't help but what? Praise Him. Amen. If you just joined us, you joined Unfailing Love Ministries. I am Dr. V, affectionately called Dr. V, Dr. Verlene Haley Goo, the senior pastor. We have on the line with us today our what I call our stage leaders. We have Pastor Valerie Pear, who you just heard pray. We have Elder Douglas Goo, which you also just heard pray. We also have our Pastor Lonnie Williams on the line. We have Pastor Sharon Brodus on the line. We have our Principal P is on the line, as I can see. And then we have a number I'm not sure of, but whoever you are, we're so glad you're on the line with us live. And then there are those that are listening on Facebook or calling from phones that we don't have listed. But we thank you for joining Unfailing Love Ministries in ministry today. When you join us on the call, do you realize that you are helping us to minister to God's people all over the world? Yeah, you are. We thank you for that. We're so grateful for that. Our format here at Unfailing Love Ministry is like this. What we do is we have, just what you just heard, we open up with prayer. We also have a time where we just celebrate Him in song and praises there. And if you were in the sanctuary live, sometimes our youth choir, they would render a beautiful selection for us and that kind of thing. And, you know, we use technology, so it's just great. And so we thank God for technology. Also what we do is we enter into what we call our leadership lesson. And we've been studying just really how to, well, we have this thing at Unfailing Love, we say champions train the hardest, right? Absolutely we do. And so what we want to do is encourage our leaders at all times to be, as the words say, study to show themselves approved, work men and women that need like not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. And so I'm going to bring the leadership lesson today while I still have a little voice. Pastor Lonnie Williams is going to bring the word of God. So after the leadership lesson and after another selection, then you will hear the preached word of God today. But after the word has been taught and then preached, we're going to give you an opportunity to have a response. So get ready, get your Bibles. You know, our favorite Bible here at Unfailing Love Ministries is the Compass Bible. We encourage you to get a copy. It's only $5 at the local, what is the name of that store? It's not Big Lots. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, at a local bookstore, get the Compass Bible, the study Bible for navigating your life. It's from the Voice series that's there, and we encourage you. But whatever Bible you have, use it. Follow along with us, okay? And so we'll have a time of open discussion and response, and we thank God for the opportunity to just share all over again. Again, we're inviting the whole of the United States, particularly, to just join us. And don't be shy. Go ahead and join us with feedback, okay? So today's leadership lesson is going to come from Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament, and it's a powerful, powerful book. I'm going to give you a moment to turn to that. I'm going to read from the selection out of the Compass, and then I'm going to go on my help tool today. It's coming from John Maxwell's Devotion on the Heart of a Leader. John Maxwell is a very popular and very sound a Christian leader, and he has been writing to encourage leadership for a number of years. Have so many books out, great books, and we use those a lot, okay? So this is what the word of the Lord says in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Later, when the wall was completed and the doors had finally been set in their places, the temple gatekeepers were appointed to protect the city with the help of the singers and the Levites. I placed Hananiah, verse 2, my brother, in charge of Jerusalem, along with Hananiah, the captains of the fortress. Hanani was honest and faithful, and in the fear of the Lord, he surpassed most men. I commissioned these to men. Okay, that is what the scripture says. What John Maxwell says under the title, Recognize the Need for Transition. Hmm? He says here, two emotions usually follow a great achievement, a sigh of relief and celebration, and a sense of now what. The period after a success can become a dangerous time. Sometimes we feel tempted toward complacency, especially if we lack another goal. We can become satisfied and let down our guard. Momentum leaks, L-E-A-K-S. The moment of victory is a crucial time for any organization. A transitional problem occurs when the leader does not know how to grow with the organization. Nehemiah's life illustrates the difference between a catalyst and a consolidator. A catalyst and a consolidator. And John Maxwell goes on to say, two types of leadership seasons. The number one, he says, the catalyst in his season gets it going. The consolidator keeps it going. Number two, he says, the leader that is a designer thinks it up. And the second one, the developer, follows it up. The motivator encourages and the manager organizes. The entrepreneur relies on self. And the executive relies on others. These are the two leadership seasons, he says, that we are in. You're either, again, a catalyst, you get it going, consolidate, you keep it going. You're a designer, you think it up. You're a developer, you follow it up. You're a motivator, you encourage, manager, you organize. And an entrepreneur relies on self. And the executive relies on others. Let me ask this question. What type of leadership season are you in currently? Are you the catalyst? I'm just going to get it going. Let somebody else what? Keep it going. I'm going to think it up. Let somebody else follow it. I'm going to encourage or I'm going to organize. I'm going to rely on myself or I'm going to rely on others. And I thought that this was a thoughtful leadership lesson for us today because here at Unfailing Love Ministries, we're in our beginning stages. We've done a whole lot. We've done a lot since September, a lot since November, and this is just the beginning of the third month in the year, and we're still, you know, making some progress. I don't know about the other leaders, but I can see some progress in our own intimate congregation among our young people. But I also see, like, we need to continue the momentum. We need everybody in their season as leaders doing what their strongest leadership gifted is. Amen. If you are a person that gets things going, let's get it going. We need things to keep what? Keep going, and we need things to be organized, and we need to rely on our best leadership skills. When I think about the scripture in relationship to this that he used for Hananiah, he was faithful and feared God more than many. I try to encourage leaders, no matter what your leadership's strongest gift is to remember that God gave you that gift. And number two, God needs you to be faithful in that gift because whatever it is, because we're all one body but a lot of different members. And if, like my girlfriend Tyra says, if she's a footer. She makes sure that the structural foundation of any ministry is solid and up and going. That's her best gift. But if that gift is not there, how are we going to build? And so that whatever, when you find out what your strongest gift is, be faithful in that gift and do it as unto the Lord, the Bible says. In other words, if you look around and you see, well, nobody else is working harder as hard as I am, don't even start comparing yourself to who's working harder. Don't even look at the fact that somebody may be running circles around you and what they're doing. If you're doing the best that you can do, ask unto the Lord where God has planted you with that gift, and then give God the glory for that. Amen? Because that's important. I often say a lot of times, Jesus was so strategic in his leadership. He had his disciples, when he sent them out two by two, when they came back, he asked them to give a report of what was done. And then he would tell them, when they begin to say, oh, you know, the sick was healed and the lame began to walk, you know, whatever their praise report was. And he said, this is how he grounded them, just be glad that your name is written in the Lamb Books of Life. And so Jesus had a way of letting us know that, and all that we do, amen, our own salvation is very important. Our own response to God is so very important. Yes, use the gifting that God has given you, but remember what's the most important thing. So when I see that word in the scripture, that the man of God who was set over this work was faithful, we want to be found as leaders at Unfailing Love Ministries. We want to be found faithful in the employment of our giftings to build the body of Christ, to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And the last thing I want to say before I close this teaching out is this very historical important fact. Nehemiah, his work was, when he went down to the wall, he went down to build up something that had been in shambles and rubbles. And his gifting was restoration. He asked the king to give him leave and support to go and restore the wall that had been torn down. And so a lot of times when God sends us as leaders into a place, we're not coming into something that's already set. Every I doubt and every T cross looking all good and shiny and everything, you know, plenty of tithes and offerings in the bank and everybody's, you know, well and I don't know a church like that. Yeah, that does have some issues somewhere. There's something that needs to be restored, something that needs to be built up. But particularly if new work, we are not so much building buildings, we're building people. And so we want to love them where they are and love them into full capability and usability into the kingdom of God, so God can get the glory out of our lives. And so we as leaders have to be careful not to judge what the state we find people in when we're building them up. You know, there's no way this person is so broke down to up from the flow up, as we would say, they can't possibly grow up to be a great leader. But you remember the first messages that I taught when we opened up, I talked about David's men that he had, how they were in debt and they were discontent and they were distraught. You know, can't remember the exact words that I used, but in other words, that was the most unlikely army to be victorious. But David took what he had and he built them up. Amen. And they followed David and they became mighty men and mighty warriors. And so I want to let all the leaders know at Unfailing Love Ministries, God has given us something to work with. Ourselves, you know, our young people, and those that are coming, we're going to be a mighty army for the advancement of the kingdom of God. God backing us up, not only with the gifts that he's already given us, but with his power. The Lord said he'll do the work through us. Amen. He'll decree a thing, and heaven will back it up. Amen. Let me tell you something. We have no time to think about failure, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know my thoughts toward you. Amen. Thoughts, not of evil, but of great success, to provide you a hope and a future. And so we love the Lord for what he's doing. We're not out here doing it alone. If it's restoration, that's what God has called us to. We have the greatest restorer on our team, and that is God ourselves. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so that is your leadership lesson today. Again, it comes from Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 7-10. We want to be found faithful leaders. We want to be found knowing what our leadership gifts are and employing those gifts 110% to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. So at this time, we're going to have another selection, and then after that, the next voice you will hear will be our own Pastor Lonnie Williams bringing us the word for today. Amen? This is going to be instrumental is In My Key. I love it. It's an original song that was designed for the Dr. B With Love show by our own Wiggatone out of New York. Just want to give him some credit, give him a shout out. He's been a blessing to our ministry. Here it is, In My Key. Praise and bless you, honey. The word of the Lord.
Know where it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. was out of 50 million, we should pray all the time, no matter what we have to do or what we are doing, as Pastor Val teaches us all the time. During our work hours, during our ball playing, even during our hair appointments, we pray and praise in God. Now, don't get me wrong, I can't take the speck from your eye without first removing the law from my own eye. I have been a better nation than never Christian myself. And that is what I have been working for. Not to be one much longer. I try my best to be to the fellowship meeting on time or even before time. We colored people have a saying that we go by season. Other people's time. May well start 30 or 40 minutes later. Our church anniversary is on time. Our fellowship meetings on time. Because we have to wait for the main system. It won't be right unless Deacon so and so leads the vote. Hey, that might be Deacon Go. When we were in the world and someone said, let's go to Kenyatta's house party, it starts at 10. We were getting ready at 10 to be there at midnight. And after we get there, we noticed that Dr. B and Deacon Gould had showed up, and we know that the party really don't start until them two get there. To me, that we have carried that better nature than never attitude with us in our Christian life. Until we think that the only one in the church that can carry the service or usher the spirit in, we won't start church. So I'm learning not to be a better nation than never Christian. One who will be ready and on time. But you see, I have an invitation for a wedding. When I became saved, I was handed an invite to the greatest wedding that will ever take place. That invite is my Bible. But you're probably saying, but a lot of weddings are simple. When it comes to time, they don't start on time all the time. I know that, but let me tell you a few things about this wedding. We consider it an honor to be invited to a wedding, to witness the coming together of new spirit joined by God, is properly prayed for, is truly an honor. But after reading my invite, I realized that I was to be a part of the wedding. Now that is really an honor, to be a part of it, to be in the wedding party. I cannot afford to be a better late than never member of the wedding party. Or should I say, but as long as I get there, better than never get. Somebody might say, we know how weddings are. A wedding barely starts on time. You don't know when the bride is coming. The bride is always what we might consider late coming out of the aisle. Or the musician coming. In the days of the New Testament, it was something like this now. Only back then, they had to wait on the bridegroom. And tradition said that the wedding would take place at either the house of the bridegroom's parents, or in most cases, at the home that the bridegroom had prepared for he and his fiance. He was hardly allowed to look at the house while it was being built, and wouldn't see the inside of the house until they were prepared. The wedding party and guests all assembled at the wedding in high anticipation for the entrance of the bridegroom. In the meantime, the bridegroom will go to the house of his betrothed, pick her up, and take her back to his house where the ceremony would take place. The groom and his bride-to-be could come at any time, day or night. So therefore, the guests and those in the wedding party that have to be on their feet and feet, ready and on time. And I'm reminded about the parable that Jesus spoke in the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 to 13. It speaks about the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise, who were in the wedding party. They had their lamps with them and rested while they waited for the groom to come.
Can I put okay?
And hey,
I'm looking at it.
It's better late than never, and took the time to get that oil for that lamp. Just a minute, y'all. I got it.
Okay, well, Pastor Lonnie takes a break and handle that business. Senate's house. Want to just encourage you to continue to listen up. This is a good teaching today because it also tells us about how we handle God's business. It is a great teaching, and so we're going to look forward to him finishing that up, that lesson that's there, and I see that the call has dropped. So when he comes back on, we're going to be ready, and also be ready for your response and your questions, because, again, after the message, then we go into team ministry, and as we respond, we also just ground the word that we have heard today and help those that are listening, either live or archive, to also glean from what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so, again, we're waiting on Pastor Lonnie to come back and connect with us at this time. And, well, okay, he's back. All righty then. Glory to God.
Oh, I had my phone was in the
okay.
with my children in.
Okay. All right, Pastor Lonnie, and talk directly into the phone so we can hear you because you're breaking up a little bit. All right, breaking up just a little bit, but speak directly into your phone so we can hear everywhere because this is good stuff. All right, go ahead.
Okay. All right, I'm going to talk right here. I was on my computer talking. I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, those five foolish ones figured that they had time since the other five left. They figured that old groom wasn't coming anytime soon because it had become late and they had laid down the slack. For the Sea Church, I'm glad I know a man who has a father, and the both are always on time. We might say that they do the better late than never thing, but praise God, they don't go by our time. They go by divine time. They go by God's wristwatch. So while all ten slept, my Bible says that in the middle of the night, there was a cry made, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. Oh, Lord. And I realized something from this, that any time the messenger comes, you still have a moment to get ready. I don't know if I'm on or not.
You're on.
You're on, Pastor.
I'm still on? Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
On.
Praise God. That's
yeah.
good. All right.
I can hear you better now.
I hear you now.
Good. All right.
All right. And that any kind of message that comes, you still have a moment to get ready. You don't know how long a moment you have unless you are told, but you still can get yourself together. For the messenger is always ahead of who or what is to come. Those prophets were messengers to Israel about their punishments and exile. John the Baptist was the messenger about Jesus. Jesus is the messenger about the Holy Spirit, and now he, the Holy Spirit, is the messenger for the New Jerusalem. We are the messengers for the rapture, for the second coming of Christ. So they lit the house lamps, those 10 maidens, those maidens that were ready when the messenger got there. And I could see them bridegrooms scrambling
at the announcement, brushing off their gowns, fixing up their hair, checking out their makeup. Then came the important part. They checked their lamps. Oh, boy. They made sure that their lamps were ready to shine. The wick had to be right so that the oil would burn bright. The glass on the outside had to be clean so that the light could shine through brightly. Well, the wick looked all right to five of them, and five had new wicks. The glass was clean enough for five of them, but five had put in new glass. And when they checked the oil, my Bible says the five took oil in their vessels, and five figured, I'll get it later. And when they trimmed those lamps, five said, my, 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 we didn't get any oil. We thought we would have time. And they said unto the wise ones, the ones with some oil, the ones that were steadfast, the ones that stayed ready, oh, give us your oil for our lamps have gone out. But the wise being wise, and knowing what they knew, that the bridegroom was indeed coming soon. They didn't know when, but they knew he was coming. They stayed prepared and oiled up. They had oil in their vessels and filled their lamps to the top. So they told those other virgins, no, if we give you some of our oils, we might not have enough for ourselves. Go over to Food Lion or Walgreens and buy your own oil. So the five with no oil decided to get busy. They hollered, better late than never, while they ran to the store. In the meantime, the bridegroom and the five that were ready, the five that were obedient, and the guests and the others of the wedding went inside to see the bride and the bridegroom get united, and the door was shut. By the time the five better late than never virgins returned and saw that everyone had gone in, they figured that they, being dressed for the wedding, could still get into the wedding. It probably had just got started. You know how to do. They ain't missed too much, they thought. But it doesn't go that way, church. For as soon as Jesus comes, church, things start on time. When the Holy Spirit gets into you, your shouting starts right away. When the Comforter comes and takes over your shell, your holy dance kicks right in. When God sends that anointing down, those living waters inside of you get to bubbling over. Things start on time when we talk about Jesus coming into the picture. Now, here is where I learned a few things about being late. My Bible teaches me this. Jesus is the bridegroom coming back to get his bride to church, a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I was thinking this. We as the virgins have a lamp within us. Am I right so far? With the glow of the Holy Spirit shining, but then glowing on the outside. It's shining within and glowing on the outside. And the word being the oil with which we need to light our lamps will provide us with a shine. We can get the oil filled now or try and wait until later. But when is later? Is later when we are down because our bills are due? Is later when we are down because we don't have a car to drive? Is later when we come down with those stubborn children? Is later when our marriage gets on the rocks? We should be like the five wise virgins, have our oil filled and ready to light our lamps at a moment's notice. For we must watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be a better late than never Christian. I don't want to miss anything by being late. When I hear Matthew 25:6 where it says, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and when I trim my lamp, when I check out to see if I have enough oil, I want to be able to light up bright with the Holy Spirit. But I learned something else. Well, I thought I would just be in the wedding party as one of the virgins. I found out that I'm going to be a part of the marriage. So I know that as a virgin, the bridegroom can pick me up and marry me also if he sees fit to do. I have to be ready. I have to be ready. You see, Jesus wants all to repent before we go to eternal sleep. He wants us all, whether it be better late than never. He will accept us at the last moment when we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must have faith and believe only in Jesus, our Savior. Believe that God sent His holy begotten, His only begotten Son down here and allowed Him to hang from the 3rd to the 9th hour. We must believe that Jesus is now interceding at the right side of our Father God for us. We must believe that the mansions are being ready. Believe that our crowns are being made. That our new names are being set on the placemats at that banquet table. I believe it. I depend on John 14:2-3, where it says, In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's where I am. There you may be also. I'm depending on that church. It keeps me going from day to day. And you should know that there's plenty of room for all of us. Come and go with me into my Father's house. There will be no crying there. There will be no dying there. That's what the song says. So in order for me to be ready, I must do a 2 Thessalonians 5:6, where it says, Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Or I have to Luke 12:35, and gird my loins about and keep my lights burning. I want to do what Paul told the Hebrews in the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. Church, I want to be ready. I don't know about you and you, whoever's listening, but Lonnie wants to be ready to go home with the bridegroom. I can't say what you might need, but I need to be ready. And I feel that I must keep on doing the works that God has chosen me to do. I'm going to keep on working until the trumpet blows, until my job description changes. For right now, I know that one of my services is to minister to the sick and shut-in. I know that I'm commissioned to teach the people, young and old, about the return of Jesus. I know one of my jobs is to have a listening ear to a friend crying out for that super change in their life. I'm sure about one of my responsibilities to God is to Romans 12:1. That I present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I know that my job right now under the supervision of Jesus is to do a Matthew 4:19 and be a fisher of men. And be in Ezekiel 3:17, where God said that I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. I have to carry out the job that my pastor has given me as her associate, according to 1 Timothy 3:8-9, where it says that I have to be sober, showing temperance, and not be guilty for filthy gifts, but to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, all in the name of Jesus, the chief supervisor. That's just a long way of just saying I got to keep that love. Have I named enough jobs yet? I have to be an example to my friends, an inspiration to the youth, a comfort to the elderly, a carrier of that blood-stained banner, a word of guidance to the lost, a deliverer of the word of God. Should I stop now? We all have jobs working for the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and I can't be late to any of my jobs, for I know that reward for being on time will be plentiful. See, I know what 1 Corinthians 15:58, where it says, Therefore, my beloved brethren and sistering, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, I keep in mind Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love which he showed towards his name, and that you minister and do minister. Did I tell you that we have a job of a planter? We must sow the good seeds of the living word and water it every day and watch God give the increase. So I have to live like 2 Corinthians 9:6, where it says, he which soweth sparingly reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So you see, saints, better late than never is a thing of the past. In these days and times, we have to be on the up and up, ready to go, doing the 100. We have to look to the up and up from whence our help comes. We have to be strong in the word. We're filling our vessels every day. We have to make sure that our lamps are ready. We need to check our wicks every day. And all in all, all in the love of Jesus while training the hardest. Praise God. God, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to deliver this message, y'all. I'm so overwhelmed right now, Lord, that you have let me, you have used me again. And I hope that the people listening from coast to coast, east to west, north to south, get at least one thing out of it, that God loves them and they need to go ahead and take care of their business on time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. He's an on-time God, right? And he wants us to be on time. Hallelujah.
On time.
Yes, that's our God. He's on time. Just going to hear a few seconds of this selection, and then we're going to open it up for feedback.
Yes,
sir.
Amen. I just wanted us to hear some of that. He's an on-time God. He's asking us to be on time. I think that's what the message, the whole theme of it was today, and why we should be on time. Pastor Lona did an excellent job, but I'm going to open it up for feedback and for comment from others that are listening in so that we can just thoroughly get every gleam, everything we need out of this message today. Would there be someone that wants to give some feedback at this time? I've opened all the lines so you can just talk it out.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is Principal P. I just wanted to give some feedback on what he said, because as far as on time, it's just amazing. When you think you're down and out, when you think there's just nothing that can possibly happen, the things that have happened to me in just the last 2 months are amazing, and only God could do that. And he uses everybody all the time. Dr. V, Pastor Val, Lonnie, everyone, always, you never know, but always be ready for him. So he's
right.
Always coming at any time. And I'm just so thankful for you all, and you are exactly correct. And my whole thing is, please always remain humble. You might not know what your job is, but when it comes time for you, be ready to step up and do it on a daily basis.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Will there be another response? Thank you for that, Principal P.
Amen. I just want to make a comment. This is Pastor Val. I want to thank you, Elder Lonnie. for the word that you brought forth about being on time, because we know that God is an on-time God, not so much that he deals with time, because God deals with seasons more so than time, but he wants us to always, always be ready. And I thank God for that word, allowing our audience to know that now is the time, right now, that as we hear the word of God, as the man of God brought forth the word, not getting ready, but accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So I truly thank God for the word today, allowing us to know that we need to get our lives in order right now with God, because we don't want to wait until he come, and then we look up and we say, oops, it's too late. So I truly thank God for the word that came across the airways today, letting us know that we have to be on time, and that we got to make sure that we stay focused and don't allow the cares of this world to just, you know, take us down. But just knowing that we have a Heavenly Father, and he is watching over us, and he does care for us. So I truly thank God for that word, just encouraging us as believers and even non-believers to get right with God, and for the believers to stay right with God. You know, we can't be looking like the man of God, so we can't be looking for the oil. We got to know to whom we belong, and we got to know not only to whom we belong, but we got to know that no matter what, he cares for us. So I truly thank God for that word you brought forth today. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for the word as well. We never know the hour or the moment. I just buried a friend of mine in good health, as far as we could tell, but a massive heart attack. Suppose he wasn't ready. But praise God, he knew the Lord. And we as leaders, we have to remember that we give an account to God for the people that we let slip through the crack. So if we are not on time and ready at all times, then we can't minister to the masses, because God can't use us. So it's good that we are in the Word, and we are, as leaders, lift up each other and keep each other encouraged in the Word and among ourselves, because this journey is not an easy journey, as we all know, but we do need to stay on time. And another thing that was heavy on my mind this week, that we actually disappoint God every time we're not ready or that we sin. So we as leaders have to stay on time with our own time, God. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. I want to thank everybody for their comments in response that's there. The word of the Lord is alive and it's rich, and it should touch us on some level. The Bible says those that have an ear, let them hear what the church is saying. And we may be on any level in our lives here, and okay, that was the word I needed today. I need to be reminded. I need to be responsive to this word. I take it personally unto myself as a love letter from God today. The preached word, the word taught, you know, even in the word and song, I mean, there is an opportunity for all of us. There's an opportunity for all of us to respond to God's word in such a way that when we put it into practice, you know, that we get great results to glorify God. I'm reminded of as a leader myself, the consciousness that we need to have about being diligent. The Bible says, "Be diligent in business. Be diligent about what He has called us to do." And so, I want to be found a diligent leader. I want to be found, like I had said earlier, one who, even in doing the work, being mindful that my own soul salvation is at stake as well. That's there, that the gifting and the ministry does not outweigh my own personal salvation response. Amen. I want to be, we used to sing that song when we were coming up, I want to be at the meeting when all the saints get home. And Paul said it even better. He says, I preach this word, and for be it from me to be a castaway myself. Amen. We can tell other people what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But if we're not doing it ourselves, and then our own response is what would put us outside of the graces of God. And I don't want to be outside of God's grace. I don't know about you, but I don't. Salvation, acceptance, all of that. But graces, yeah, I want to have a crown to throw at his feet. I do. If you're listening today, live or archive, I want you to know that the kingdom of God, the doors of are open at this time. You know, we also say that the doors of the church are open. The kingdom doors are ever open for you. Rush in. Rush in. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rush in now, because we're not promised not another day. And you want to make that decision while you have time to accept his Son, Jesus the Christ. That's one way. That's the only way. Anybody else that tries to come up another way, the scripture says, he's a thief and a robber. We cannot steal our way into the kingdom. We accept our way into the kingdom by accepting his Son, his risen Son, the propitiation of our sins. His blood was sacrificed, the only blood that was clean, and it was accepted by God. So now we have eternal life. Got life, but eternal life is much better. How about that? Having life is not enough. I want that eternal life. I want the here and after too. Amen. Greedy, yes. I want you to be greedy too. Just embrace eternal life to the Son, Jesus Christ. Very serious about that. I want you to do that today if you haven't made your decision for Christ. Romans 10:9-10 is how we are saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for your sins, then you are saved. Everything after that is you allowing Christ to be formed in you. So that's why you hear the preached word. That's why you suffer to hear the taught word. Amen. And really, don't get hung up on the presentation, how it is, whether it comes on the air or whether you're in the church or whether you're sitting down reading yourself. When the Lord ministers to your heart and soul, respond to that in a positive way. God, I receive your Son. I receive you. I receive your word. I receive your instructions. Amen. Psalms 23 says that the Lord is our shepherd. Hey, glory to God. Accept him as your shepherd today, and we shall not want. Amen. And so that's all we have for today on Unfailing Love Ministries. We hope that there's something has been said, done, sung, taught, preached, commented, or what have you, that has encouraged your soul. We invite you to be back with us again on next Saturday at 4:30 p.m. We are getting our technology down. It's getting a little rough. We're getting it down for on air as well as when we are in the sanctuary that's there. Coming up next Saturday, I'm so excited about it. We are going to be listening to an initial sermon of our Matthew Parham. He's going to be bringing forth the word of God. Hallelujah. That's going to be a powerful word. I know God is putting his spirit in his belly. I want to invite you out to the house to hear that word live. And then on April the 9th, our own Elder Douglas Gould is going to be bringing forth a word of the Lord as well, his initial sermon as well. So God is growing up, leading his champions, training the heart is here at Unfailing Love Ministries. On Monday night at 7 p.m., we have our own Pastor Sharon Brodus. She is in Bible study with leaders, amen, and we want to invite you to that. That number is posted on our Facebook site as well, but we want you to, yeah, just join us for Bible study on Monday night. Would you please? That's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There'll be some other broadcasts coming up. We'll let you know about that. We have an exciting year to complete. And again, we're building, and we want you to be a part of that. So come and join us. Those of you in the ministry who are mindful that we're not in the sanctuary today, but your tithes and your offerings are important to us, to the building of the kingdom, we ask you to set them apart. I want to thank everybody who came to the table this week to help us make our budget. And we got a blessing today, amen, from somebody, from Sister Laura, not just somebody, Sister Laura, who prays for the ministry mightily up north. She put a love offering in her tithes and her offerings in our Treasury today, amen, with some specific instructions. I forward those to Pastor Lonnie so he'll be mindful of that. But you know what? When we pressed this week to give out of our necessity and our need, God came back and he gave us more than what we gave, had to pay out. How about that? Who would love a God like that? We had a particular need, and we met that need. Amen. Pastor Lonnie ran into the bank with the last, that we needed to make things happen. And God, can I tell you, Pastor Lonnie, God bless us time 100. Amen. And so that's what kind of God we serve. And, I ain't mad at him. I'm rejoicing in what God does for us. And he'll continue to do for us as we continue to be obedient to his word. Want to open up for final comments before we have 12 minutes left. So before we let the people of God go, again, we want to certainly invite you again to our house, 5311 Distributor Drive. We will be in the house next week. We're praying that all transportation issues and any other issues that we might have in the body of Christ to keep us from being live and there and in person. Nothing's going to keep us. Nothing is going to keep us from being there. We're going to be there, and we invite the whole world to come and support us there, or at least listen on the line. Powerful word is going to be coming forth. Amen. So, leaders, sage leaders, anybody have any final comments before we close out? Okay. I guess nobody had anything, so I'm going to go ahead and close out in prayer. How about that? Father God, we just thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for all that you've done for us and through us. We don't count it lightly, Lord God, that you would use us in this season to get your word out to your people whom you love. You love us unconditionally and unfailingly, and we thank you for that. We thank you, O God, for the word that was taught today. Know our giftings, oh God, and be diligent and faithful in our giftings. Be on time with our sharing, Lord God, and be diligent in your business and affairs. And so we thank you, Lord God. We also thank you, Lord God, that when if the bridegroom's come, we'll be ready. Our lips will be trimmed, oh God, because your word has admonished us to do so. We will be obedient to your word. You said in your word, if you love me, follow my commandments. And that's what we at Unfailing Love Ministries will endeavor to do. Follow your commandments. Amen. You helping us to do so. Now, Father God, as we close out the broadcast, those that are listening, again, live and archived, bless them, oh God. If they need comfort, oh God, let them know the Holy Spirit is there for them. If they need peace, let them know that you give them the gift of peace, oh God. If they need finances, Lord, let them know that you can open up your good treasure to them, oh God. Father, if they need just a place to be, let them know that you said, come unto me, all you are that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let them know that they can come home to your heart and to your safety. You are a strong tower, and we can run unto you and find safety. Again, you are the good shepherd, our shepherd, and we thank you, Lord God, in you we do not want. As Christ is being formed in us, O God, help us to be unfailing in our love as well, perfect examples of who you are in us. And it's in Jesus' name that we praise and we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again,
amen.
Amen. Until next week, remember that hallelujah, what? Is the highest praise. And we shout hallelujah to his name.